chapter 4, verse number 17. And I would like to ask you to stand together and let's read this chapter, let's read verse 16 and then 17 is our text, and then we'll go ahead and read verse 18 as well. Let's begin, everyone together, in unison, 16, 17, 18, Colossians chapter 4. Can we please? And when this epistle is... Our Father, please take the few moments we're together and please glorify your Son, Jesus. Help and edify your people. If there's someone here not saved, obviously we want them to be saved. But I think most people here have accepted you. And yet there are different stages of life. Some are going into an unknown stage of what to do now that I'm graduated and have a degree. Some are single. Some are married. Some are going to be married. Some are going to go to rural communities. Some will go to a foreign field. Some are taking mission trips this summer. Others of them are going to an urban area. Some are going home. Some are staying here. Some are going on internships and working in churches over the summer. But all of us have the same responsibility, and that is to take heed to the ministry which we received of the Lord, that we fulfill it. And I pray that you'd help me in a few moments to share these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I do not want you to leave today without rehearsing once again the six principles in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Those are six principles that I really believe with all my heart are biblical, sound principles that every one of you should not only have in your head, but continue to meditate in your heart and give yourself wholly to them, meditate on them, and give yourself wholly to them. And if you do that, profiting will appear to everyone around you. Chapter 1 teaches us to, number 1, what is it? Someone help me. Sound doctrine. Keeping your doctrine sound. It's an important concept, and it's very important. Keeping your doctrine pure. Know what the Bible says. There are many winds of doctrine. The Bible says, try the spirits and see if they be of God. When you hear something, be careful. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful, because doctrine determines what you believe, determines where you will end up one day. And I want you to be students. I'm thankful that you passed your class. I'm thankful that you got that particular thing on. I'm glad you have a degree, but that's just permission to keep studying. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep knowing what the Bible says. Get the answers book. Study those pages, study those concepts, learn the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of eternal security. Had someone recently come to my office, and it was a pastor's wife, and the wife was struggling on eternal security and wondering, okay, can you show me this? And we went through the Bible and began to talk about it. When I finished, she said, Pastor, thank you. Oh, my faith has been strengthened. You know, she didn't have to have me to strengthen her faith. She had a Bible. I'm thankful that she came. I'm thankful that she got the help. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God was already there. The truth was already there. And it was the Word of God that helped her. We got some verses. She's memorizing those, and she's meditating on those. And it's a good thing. But I also gave her that book of answers. I said, listen, go study. She goes, I have that already. I said, open it. Open it. Get in there. And it talks about problem passages that talk about eternal salvation, eternal security, very important. I know that our missionary here, Brother Maskey, the charismatic movement is very challenging there in foreign cultures especially. And you need to know your Bible. Doctrine determines. And if you swerve doctrinally, you're ending up for a what? Yeah, that's what happens. Swerve ends up in a shipwreck. You take off the coast of San Francisco going for Tokyo and you're off a little bit. The longer you go in that ocean, the farther off you'll be off at the end. You'll end up somewhere in northern China. And a little bit of swerve ends up a lot of shipwreck. Keep the doctrine sound. Chapter 2, make what two things a priority? Make prayer and your walk with God a priority. Young people, listen, that's so important. Keeping Jesus sweet. Keeping the walk with God what it ought to be. We're a people prone to wonder. And we need to walk with God, and we need to spend time in prayer and the disciplines. And it doesn't really matter what you've done, what your name is, what church you come from, who your daddy is, who your mama is, what degree you got, what college you went to. Nothing can substitute my walk with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you've been serving God for 4 months or 40 years. Everybody needs to walk with God. And it needs to be a priority. Chapter 3, spiritual what? Working with people. Making someone else's spiritual maturity your responsibility. This is what we talked about here. And boy, I thank God for Dr. Young's admonition. Go find somebody this summer whose light is dim, but whose hope is sure that you can help them with. What a blessing. You know, think about this. I was thinking about it this morning. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made it. But it wasn't like it is right now when He created it. The Bible tells us what it was like. He created a blob of something that was without form. It was empty and it was dark. And you know, that's exactly how people are without Jesus Christ. They are without purpose, they are empty, and they're in darkness. The first thing that happened to this planet in that state, and by the way, everybody in this planet, God created them. But just because they're God's creation does not make them God's child. They need to be birthed into God's family. They need something to happen to them. One thing is already happening to them. And that is, the Spirit of God is moving upon the empty, dark waters of their life. The wonderful thing about being a soul winner is I know that God's Spirit is already working on their life. When you go into Chicago on a Saturday, you can know for sure that God's Spirit is already working in the lives of people. But God's Spirit alone will not save a man. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then the Bible says the Lord God said. They need something else to be saved. You're not saved completely by the Holy Spirit of God. He is our earnest. He is the one who convicts us. But faith is not generated by the Holy Spirit of God. Faith is generated by the... So then, faith cometh by... And you know what? God is not speaking from heaven audibly to people. You know how they get to hear God's word? From me and from you. You know how the light that's dim turns into hope? Is when someone opens the Bible, when someone hands out a gospel tract. Never underestimate the power of a seed. When someone says, Jesus Christ saved me and I'm so glad, I'd like to pass this on to you. Just the name of Jesus. There's not salvation in the other. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. The Word of God has to be spoken for light to come on in their day of salvation. Young person, there's somebody out there that you need to win to Christ, that you need to disciple to maturity and train to greater heights for the Lord. Never get over that. It's why you're here. It's what the ministry is about. Is keeping my doctrine sound, is keeping my personal walk and my prayer with God what it ought to be. And number three, it is helping people grow to spiritual maturity. What a blessing it was for me to see last our deacons vote here at First Baptist Church. Two men were nominated by our church family and have been selected to be deacons in our church who have been saved less than 2 years. But they were saved. And they have been spent hours and hours with other Christians in our church, discipling them in their home, at the church, working with them. Hours and hours working with them. And then now both of the men are in our Bible Institute, and the church family selected and chose them to be deacons. What a blessing. Somebody has learned to spiritually reproduce themselves. You need to learn to do that. And you can. Every one of us have 168 hours a week. You can spend 45 minutes talking to someone about the Lord. You can spend someone helping them learn how to pray, learn how to read their Bible, learn why the church is important. You can help them understand on eternal. And by the way, when you're teaching them, you're going to start learning some things. God's going to do some things in your heart. Spiritually reproduce yourself. Chapter 4 is the walk of a godly example. We've talked about this. I think you can quote this quote for me. Our sermons whisper? Say it again. Our sermons whisper? Yeah. What you say doesn't matter near as much as what you are. Our sermons whisper, but our life shouts, and be a good testimony. So much of what Dr. Young was telling us is, listen, when you get in there, you are something very important. When you step into your church Saturday morning or Saturday for soul winning, you ought to be there for soul winning. You ought to be there for the bus route. Get on a bus route. Find a place. Sunday morning, you ought to be sitting toward the front of your church. You ought to be there sitting toward the front half of the auditorium. You ought to find someone to sit with you. You ought to help someplace, unless your pastor wants you working in a junior church or getting involved in something. Find something to do. But be a testimony. Be an example. Pay attention. Got a few young people goofing around here while Brother Young was talking a few moments ago. Don't do that. Pay attention. Fellas, I'm going to say this, and affectionately so, I'm glad you can grow a beard, but this is not the summer to do it. Nothing wrong with a beard. Jesus had a beard. But if you're a servant of Christ and you are coming from this school and you're training for the, there's no sense, and I'm happy for you. Take a long camping trip and be Grizzly Adams, okay? I don't care. Unless it is, and if your pastor has a beard and he wants you to grow a beard, grow a beard. I don't care about that. But I do think you don't do it just as a sight of just, you ought to ask yourself, why do I do that? I kind of wonder, guys go home, they all of a sudden they want to put a necklace on. And I say, why? Why is that? What's the reason? And just tell me, what did the Lord lead that on your heart to do that? Okay, then we come to church and our shirt tail's not tucked in and we just kind of come in casual as we are. Not dressing the way God wants us to dress and be an example to believers. Listen, friend, that's a privilege. It's a privilege to be an example. It's a privilege to live in a glass house. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to be a mirror of God's goodness and showing other people the love of Christ. And all they have to look at is you. And me, and our exterior, and our attitude, and our body language, and all they have to hear is what we say, how we conduct ourselves, and how we pay attention. And you think for something, if you think for a moment no one pays attention to you when you walk back in, oh, they pay attention to you, and they look at you, and they look at your parents, they look at you, and they look at God. Our life's important. Chapter 5, help me with that. Treatment of God's people. Boy, treat people right. Treat your pastor right, your pastor's wife. Treat the kids in the church. Treat your siblings right. Treat your parents right. Listen, love your mom and dad. I couldn't echo that enough. They need you. You've never been a parent before, but when you are, you'll understand how important it is to have your son or daughter just talk to you. Just to talk to you. Just sit down and visit. You know, don't be that deep well that to draw everything out of you. How's your day? Fine. How's your year? Great. Don't do that. Tell them. Ask them some questions. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them what you remember as a child, how you appreciate dad, appreciate how you did this. And I learned this year that, Mom, I thank God that you kept a clean house. You know, some of the girls in my... No, don't do that. Just thank the Lord. Your mom's going to probably do your laundry. You're going to say, you know, thanks, Mom. I didn't realize what all you did. How much you did in times past. Thank God for the meals they fix and praise them and thank them. Treat them right. Remember, you treat your older men like fathers. Treat the older women like... You think one day I'm going to switch on, I'll just treat everybody right. If you don't treat your mama right, you're going to have a hard time with the older ladies in the church. I have counseled not enough, and I don't have an angle on this. I've counseled pastors who have trouble with the older men in their church, and I think oftentimes you can draw a direct comparison to how they treat their dad. And they say, well, these older men, they won't direct, you know, they won't follow me. And if you ask them, you'll find that they have trouble with their own father. Because God put the home as an incubator to learn how to handle relationships. And then chapter 6, help me with that one. And I'll have to do that next fall, go through that chapter with you, because I did not use my time wisely this year. But I'm looking forward to talking to the young people next fall. And those of you who are graduated, listen online, okay? But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul closes out this book and he says, I want you to get a hold of Archippus. Archippus was probably a young man. He might have been the pastor, I don't know. But Archippus was someone who served with the Apostle Paul that he knew, that he had crossed with. And he said to them, when you find Archippus, tell him to take heed to the ministry that he's received of the Lord, that he fulfill it. Lots of things in the Bible are kind of all, they just kind of say what God wants to say. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandment. Or trust the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Or trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not thine own understanding. Or Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what's good with the Lord, what's required thee, that thou doest justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. But here, this he said, tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry that he's received of the Lord, that he fulfill it. Young people, as we exit this campus and finish this last chapel today, you guys are wonderful young people. But I want to give you the same advice that the Apostle Paul gave Archippus. And that is to take heed. Take heed to the ministry that you've received of the Lord, that you fill it up. All of us are in our vapor of life. I thought about bringing today dry ice and a cup and dropping dropping some water and some dry ice and watching the vapor come up. And I probably should have done that for sake of illustration. The difference between you and the people that are sitting in the morgue over at Memory Lane this afternoon is you're still in your vapor and they're out. And there's a lot of difference between you and those that are sitting in Purdue Calumet getting ready for graduation. You're very valuable young people because most of you, if not all of you, have been tapped on the shoulder, proverbial shoulder, by God and have been put into the ministry. God told you somewhere in your life, you can do that. I need you to help me with that. I want you to do something different. I don't want you to put buttons on Levi's. I don't want you digging ditches. I don't want you calculating numbers for an accounting firm. There's nothing wrong with that. People do that in the will of God all the time. But most of you have been tapped into by God, the coach of all coaches, and put into the game of the ministry. And because of that, I don't want you to get out of that. And he said to Archippus, I don't know if Archippus was just forgetting it. I don't know if he was excited about something else. But somewhere in the closing words of this letter, he says to the people of Colossae, find Archippus and you tell him to get it together. Take heed and remember that he's received of God a calling on his life. And that calling, number one, is special because it came from God. I didn't call myself. I was 13 years old. I heard Dr. Ray Young preach, but he didn't call me to preach. Brother Douglas was my first spiritual supervisor in the work of the Lord. What a great blessing he has been for these years, and how thankful I am to have had his influence. But he didn't call me. My dad was a great man, but he didn't call me. God did. I know when it was, and I know that I didn't know what God would want me to do, but he did this. There were thousands of kids in that room with me, but he did this to me. Said, John, I need you to surrender. I need you to just say yes to me. What a great day that was in the life of John Wilkerson. It's a special calling. Apostle Paul said like this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What a blessed thing that God would give you a special calling. Don't get over that. Let that set inside of you. Apostle Paul told Timothy numbers of times, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I put you in remembrance to stir up the gift of God which is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, preaching of God's word. God spoke to your heart. Stir it up. Don't let it sit and soak and sour. Don't get wondering eyes. Remember the things that you've heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who can be able to teach others also. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and don't be entangled with the affairs of this life, but seek to please Him who has called you to be a soldier. Listen, friend, I got drafted into work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing else I would rather do in the whole world. There's no place else I'd rather live. There's nothing else I'd rather do than to please God, because He chose me. The calling that God put in your heart and life is a special calling, and you're special people. I don't say that to blow in your ear. I love you. I admire you. I cannot believe I get the opportunity to even stand in front of you or to see you walk in the hallways. But I tell you what, I don't care if you've got 100 demerits or 99 or you have no demerits. I don't care if you make F's or A's. I do think, I don't care if you're in a bus ministry or you're in a Sunday school class, I love every stinking one of you. And I believe in you. And so does this administration. We're not what we ought to be. There's all kinds of things I could do better to be a pastor to you, to be a chancellor for this college, and there's all kinds of things we could do better. But I tell you what, I believe in you and I believe your calling is special. Amen. I'll say number two, it's a serious calling. Take heed. It's wake up and smell the coffee. Wake up and realize what you're doing is really serious. There's a couple things you ought to take heed to. Number one, you got to take heed to yourself. Take care of your own walk with God. Take care of your own personal purity. And take care of your own family responsibilities. No one else is assigned to mop up a mess of a negligent person who does not walk with God, who does not take care of their family responsibility, and does not keep their own purity. Paul said to Timothy, keep yourself pure. Keep it pure. Keep it pure. Because no one else can do that. If I'm not pure for John Wilkerson, no one else can be pure for me. It's not my wife's job, it's not my kids' job, it's not your job, it's not the administration's job, it's my job for me. It's your job for you. Take heed. It's a serious calling. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. We'll say also you want to take heed to your responsibilities. People good at making excuses are rarely good at anything else. Quit blaming your mom, blame your dad, your upbringing. Quit blaming your finances, your mental faculties. Quit playing a blame game and say, you know what, I'm responsible for me. In the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, the guys were saying, well, our dad ate sour grapes and now our teeth is set on edge. So because our dad did this, this is what happened to me. And God tells them very, very emphatically, you big crybaby, knock it off. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you do what's right, I'll bless you. You do what's wrong, I'm going to discipline you. You're responsible for you, and I'm responsible for me. Quit making excuses. Amen. Take heed to your responsibilities. Don't be easy on yourself. Be tough on yourself. Say, you know what? What's not what I want to do, not what's easy for me, not what I feel like doing, but what am I supposed to do? And then do it. It's a serious calling. It's a special calling. And it's a specific calling. So I want you to fulfill it. I want you to fill it up. I want your life to be full. Jesus came that not only have life, but we can have it more abundantly. He said, Archippus, whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, knock it off. Take heed to the ministry because it's special. God put you in the ministry. It's serious. Take heed to it. And then make sure you fulfill it. Because it is a specific calling that God has called for you to do. Young people, let me encourage you. Be pure. Be pure. Purity is so powerful. Immorality just takes a man or a woman to their knees. It puts a blot that cannot be washed away. Be pure. Be pure in your morals. Be pure in your motives. And by the way, if you've got it up here, you're going to act it out. Be preparing. Don't put quit on your mind. Keep preparing. Keep on going. Keep on going. What are you going to do with your life? In just a few days, all of us are going to stand before God. And you want to be glad that you filled up your ministry that God gave you. That you did what God wanted you to do. Be preparing. Be pure. Be passionate in your service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, it's all about Him. And wherever you go on this planet, I hope that you'll be passionate. And if you're passionate about Jesus, you'll be passionate about serving Him. And I would say, too, be patient. Some of you beautiful young ladies, you're leaving school, and right now you have not, God has not brought someone who thinks the world of you, who loves you deeply. And it's frustrating. Some of you guys, the same way. I think it's very challenging sometimes to wait on the Lord. Some of you, everybody's asking, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you don't know what to do. And I always want to jab slap someone who asks people that. And what you ought to answer to them is, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. If you say that enough times, you'll actually do it. When it comes around, you'll do what God wants you to do. But be patient. God is a God of process. He is working. And you don't have to be worried. You need to take that care and make it prayer and cast that burden upon the Lord and give Him your time. Our times are in His hands. He loves you. He knows where you're at. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses. He knows what you're good at. He knows what you're not good at. He knows what you'll be, who you'll be good for, young lady. He'll know what kind of a young lady you need, and you won't miss it if you'll be in God's will. But be patient with the Lord, because you are in a very special, serious, and specific calling for the Lord. And I want to encourage you to stay involved. Stay busy. Ask the Lord to help you as you approach this stage of your life. And let's be faithful to Him. Let's pray together, can we?